The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
It's those moments where I really learn to worship, because it's easy to worship when everything's great, but you learn the value of who God is when you're in the fire. Yeah. And the blessing of a fire, the blessing of a trial, that God would trust us with those storms so that He would bring out of us the best that He always knew that He put in us.
Michael Bethany shares how his songs are birthed out of a personal overflow of intimacy with God. Next.
I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. Welcome to Life Today. It's going to be a good day. Here at Life Today, we have Michael Bethany with us. Do you know Michael?
I talked to him online recently, you'll get it, but he is just overflowing with what God's doing in his life.
I do get that.
You get that?
I do get that.
Okay, we'll explain it.
I will explain that. But first I want to say there's probably a lot about him that I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what I do know about Michael is that he's a singer, mm-hmm. a songwriter. Mm-hmm. He's a worship leader at Gateway.
Yep.
In Dallas, Texas. He has a documentary out that I've seen, and it's so good. And he also has a brand new album out called Overflow.
There you go.
And it's so good. Michael, welcome to Life Today. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
And to meet you. I mean, when I was digging into your documentary and I was listening to Summer Overflow, I literally was in my study last night or two nights ago, and I was listening to learn, right? So I'm listening to a song called Fill the Room. And it's a great worship song, and everybody's there, the atmosphere is set, and I'm watching to learn, and then all of a sudden something shifted in me at about 5 minutes, and all of a sudden I couldn't hold back the tears, and my hands just went up in that room, and I just started praising God, and you started singing over my life, and you didn't even know me, but you were singing over my life and saying things and speaking, and then it just went on, and it filled not just that room, it filled my room, and it filled my life. And there is something very different to me about a worship singer and just a singer. There's something different on your life, Michael, and I'm grateful for you, the journey you've traveled. We'll get into that. But first, I want you to take a second and watch just a little bit of this experience fill the room.
I don't want to be the same when you feel the room.
It is powerful. It is powerful that I don't even know where to go to unpack all that I feel in my heart right now. But I think it would be best to just start from the beginning. Like, tell us about your life. Like, how did you get to this place of even wanting to lead worship?
You know, what a great question. And, just like the documentary, I talk about my life through the lens of this album. Because this album does paint a picture, but I have to fill in some of those blanks because you don't know my life. But I grew up in a small church in St. Louis. My father was a pastor. And what you see in that moment, in that clip, is really an expression of how I met Jesus, how I learned to worship Jesus. In the small church where there was no audience, right? There was no YouTube, there was none of that. It was just a small group of people who loved God that were totally sold out, and I'm this little kid just soaking this up, soaking up this culture of seeking after God, wanting God, and learning to worship God. Prayer nights all night long, right? And that's where I grew up, and that's what my father and my parents just imparted into me. And so that's where I started. I never decided to sing. I was told, you're gonna sing. Yeah. It was just a natural part of my life. I think I may have talked to you about this, Randy, when I first met Jesus, sitting next to my mom in church, and my father's preaching. And I have no idea, I really can't put it together. And I start to cry, and my mother's like, what's wrong with you? And she thought I was probably whining and wanting some candy or something. And I told her, I don't know, but something Dad is saying right now. Hmm. I don't know what it is, but something Dad is, and she told me to go to the altar. And I went to the altar in that little storefront church, and I met Jesus. And from that time till now, it's been a journey of knowing Him, and it's amazing. But every time I worship, even now, I go back to those days of just experiencing God in that small church.
How old were you then?
I was about 8 years old at that time. Okay. And I'm telling you, we were in the hood. I mean, we were like in the middle of St. Louis, inner city St. Louis, lots of poverty, lots of crime. But my father was called and committed to that neighborhood.
And when we hear that, a beautiful beginning, and we see the clip of you leading worship today, we can get a little bit of the wrong idea that your life has just been big overflow. It hasn't.
No.
You face some difficulty. And I think what that emphasizes is the daily need to be filled. But tell us a little bit about what happened that really could have taken you completely off track.
What people need to understand is when I was a baby, not long after I was born, my mother passed away. So we start life in grief for me. And then my father remarries. And then when I'm 20 years old, my father passes away. Mm. You know, and there's a lot of things that happen. My father in his mid-30s was very sick. And so a lot of my teenage years there was a lot of fear during those times because I thought many years, it could be any time my father could be gone. Mm-hmm. And then he passes away. And so many things like that where I believe God in His providence used some of those awful things to build something in me that's so fruitful and helpful to people all over the world.
Sure.
A desperation for God is what my parents gave me. Even when they couldn't give me their own presence, they gave me something eternal. Mm-hmm. And my father passed that to me. And I've thought about this so much, because after my father passed, I was 20 years old. And I thought about this, like, how could I lose my father? I need him more now. And this is maybe even for, I want to just say to teenagers or adults, if you have your parents, don't take it for granted. Like, this is a gift. And I would do anything to have that back. But the Lord even showed me, even in the loss, that what your parents invested in you is bigger than what you think. Mm. Mm. And the legacy that's living beyond their years is greater than what they even imagined it would be, but they prayed. And it's happening right now. It's happening. It's the fulfillment of their prayers I'm living in right now. So those things happen, and we lived through so many changes. We moved to Dallas, and we moved right before the 2008 financial crisis, the housing crisis, and I was a real estate investor.
Okay.
I was young and I wanted to be rich, right? You know, I wanted to be Carlton Sheets. I had some, you know, stay up late at night and watch those infomercials. Like, I'm gonna do it. So my wife and I, we went after it, and we lost everything. You know, wow. In that crisis. And we lost far less than maybe so many other people.
Yeah, but everything's everything.
But
yeah.
Everything right. We had, yes. You know, we lost all of that. Mm-hmm. And so many things. I mean, I can go on and on, but I remember during that time we had a small baby. He was just born, and I remember holding him, and we didn't have any money. Mm. We didn't have any health insurance. And God called us. I could have gone to work back as in electrical design and engineering, but God called me out of that. Mm. And called me into ministry. So now we've lost everything. All this is going on, and my child's having seizures in my arms.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
And we don't have any way to take care of him. And talk about a feeling as a man, as a husband, of feeling like a failure. Mm-hmm. I look back on those years, my son is now 17. In just a few days, he'll tell you he's 17 right now. But seeing him as a full, like almost a full-grown man, almost taller than me, and thinking about where we came from, and not knowing what was going to happen, but God provided. It's those moments where I really learned to worship, because it's easy to worship when everything's great, but you learn the value of who God is when you're in the fire, and the blessing of a fire, the blessing of a trial, that God would trust us with those storms so that He would bring out of us the best that He always knew that He put in us.
So, but here's the question. You're saying this, and it's true, and I believe you, and it's wonderful, and people need to hear it. But when you're holding that baby and you got nothing and there seizures are going on, you got to be, you have a choice at that point. You can either say, God has forsaken me and walk away, or you can press in and try to just walk through it.
Yeah.
What did you have that choice going, that battle going on in your head?
You know, I did have that choice. And I want to just be honest. I didn't always choose worship. I learned to worship. I use that intentionally. Learning to worship is also through the mistakes, through the bad decisions, through going the wrong direction, not believing God, me and my wife fighting and arguing and looking at each other thinking like, what have we gotten ourselves into? Maybe we got married too young. Maybe I married the wrong person. You know, that's those lies the enemy tries to tell you to try to speak into your, and we went through that, but we learned through it the faithfulness of God. And in those dark times, this is what I love about God. You don't have to know where you're going for God to lead you. You don't have to know the direction to be led in the right direction, because God's leading us even without our permission. We belong to Him, and He's serious about that. He loves us as His children. And in those dark days, we were walking with Jesus and we didn't even know it. And I love to look through those years and see, how do we get out of that? I do not know, but I know God walked us and navigated us through it. It was not savvy. It wasn't our great knowledge of the Bible. It was being with Jesus, even in the shadow of death. We were walking through that shadow, but God was with us, and He was comforting us, and He was leading us, and He never left us. And when I was running away, goodness and mercy pursued me, chased me down to put me back on the right track. And that's encouraging, because sometimes you think that maybe I've gone too far, but God loves you. He's still with you, and He's still directing your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, even when you're losing your way and losing your mind. Yeah. They're still ordered by the Lord.
Yes, they are. You said, I want to quote you here. You said, sometimes I've thought to myself, I'm going to lose today. God says, it's too late to lose. Explain what you mean, because to me, I'm like, what is that? When I first heard it, it's too late to lose. I was like, what does that mean? What does Michael mean by saying that? But I love the conclusion.
Yes. So this is, I'm in a cabin with a few friends in Oklahoma, and we're praying in this cabin. And I brought my acoustic guitar. And while we're praying and a few friends weeping, I picked this guitar up and I'm like searching, like, God, I feel a song. I want to sing something I've never sang. And I started to sing this song, you will have the final say, it is done, it is done. And just as I sang that a few times, the next lyric came out, and it's too late to lose, it's already done. And I sang that, and I still have that audio, that voice memo, and you could hear my friends weeping and singing along. Here it is. When God says something is for you, when God proclaims something over your life, by the time you realize you're under attack, it's already too late to lose. The word of God is already, it's as good as done. That's why I love the prayer, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, it's settled. It's done. It's a finished product. But on earth, we're in process. But we're in the process of a finished work. So He's faithful to His word. Yeah. And even in the middle of what you're going through, God's not finished until He's done, until it's good, until it's complete. Wow. And so with me, when I sing that song, when I make that declaration over my life and over the lives of anyone who hears the song, that's a reality. And I said in that documentary that I often felt like it was too late to lose when God was saying it was, I was often thinking it was too late to win when God was saying it was too late to lose.
That's what I love about it, because so many times we do feel like, oh, it's too late. I've missed an opportunity. I miss God. And I love that you say it's not, and He is going to be faithful to the very end and complete what He started in you. We're never too far. To me, we're never too far. And I love how He's brought your life back around to this season in your life, pursuing the things of God for your life, but then also helping us. And I'm so grateful for it in the call in your life, Michael.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much. Wow.
Can I ask you one quick question?
Yeah.
You have this phrase, life in the wild.
Yes.
What does that mean to you, and what does that look like?
Okay, so for me, I was reading the story of John the Baptist in Luke 1, and I got to verse 80 of the first chapter. And of course, now all these things have happened. You know, Zachariah, he's got his voice back. His name is John, and everyone's curious, you know, looking at his life, what God's gonna do. And this is so much promise that they've been waiting. It's been hundreds of years since they've heard anything from God. Verse 80 says, and he lived in the wilderness until his ministry started. And something about that just gripped my heart.
Wow.
Of course, we now know what chapter 3 talks about what his life was like, what he ate, what he wore. Very strange life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a life that most people would choose for themselves. But I thought about that, and I believe the Holy Spirit illuminated that to me to say, listen, when I've called you to something special, I've called you to do something for me, it's not enough to receive the calling. You've got to commit with your lifestyle and live a lifestyle that really will put you in the best position for my word to really nurture and to come to pass. And so John went through, I mean, he could have stayed in Jerusalem with his parents and just grew up there, but he moved into the wilderness to seek God in an exceptional way. So for me, as I speak to other creatives and worship leaders and artists and anyone who would listen, I'm always admonishing us, let's not live at the level of what's legal. Let's think about where God really wants us to be for the best in our lives. And sometimes that's going way beyond what you would think would be, you know, well, anybody can do this. I mean, I could just go to work, go to college, get a job, or I could really listen to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to direct my life. Mm. And this is something that I talk about a lot, because a lot of creatives and people with these amazing influential gifts, we live beneath the level of what God has called us to, and we don't embrace the full lifestyle that would protect and that would nurture that calling so it can come to fruition. John lived out his calling in the wilderness. He never had to leave. He was able to do it. And the only time he left was to go bring people into the wilderness with him.
Wow.
And
yes.
Jesus met him in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And he fulfilled his life calling because he was that committed to what God spoke over his life.
And you know what? Ooh. You know what? When you're in the wilderness, there's a dependency on God that you don't have when you're living
That's
in the
right.
city with your parents in their house.
That's right.
And so what I hear in a lot of that is obedience and really depending on God day to day. And that means He has to fill you, and that's when you overflow.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to imagine, it's Jesus, Mark 1:35 says that He would get up in the morning and go to a place, an isolated place, and that word actually means wilderness.
Yeah.
So Jesus frequented the wilderness. No accident, right, that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. The wilderness is not a bad place. It's a place where you can experience God organically. That's where the root word of wilderness is wild, which just means organic. It's just getting back to what God intended for me. And especially right now with social media and all the different things vying for our attention, there's so many things that wants to contaminate or pollute the way we see the world or how we engage God. But God wants us to really seek His Word, seek His presence, and get into a place where He can truly speak to us and lead us and nurture us.
I love it.
Good.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
I
love it, too.
So many good things here. We have a little bit of an adventure for you, actually. We want you to reach into the wild, into a place where people really need to meet God, and they can do it through people like you and I.
Absolutely.
People like Mark.
Yes.
People like you. In fact, many have done it. Many people have experienced God because of people just like you.
Amen.
Watch this and you'll see how.
Oh, hello. Thank you for letting me come to your house. Hello, Mama.
As I told you earlier, our friends at the medical clinic shared a little of your story with us. And so we wanted to come and pay our respect and our condolences. Can you tell me your baby that you lost? What was the baby's name? As I've sat here today and listened to Christina's story, it's the story of so many mothers here in Angola and so many of the other countries that we work here in Africa. Valentin was sick and you took him to the hospital. What did the doctors tell you? There are so many things, whether it be drought, whether it be floods, so many variables that affect their lives that are so fragile already that just one little change can bring destruction. One little change can bring death. Do you think about Valentin often? What was he like? I know it's hard, I'm sorry. It's okay. When I asked Christina about Valentin, she can't hardly talk about it. And she's able to talk about this brand new baby. And boy, when I asked about her daughter that is still alive, she brightened up and she wanted to talk. But the fact is, a mother's heart cries out for the one that is lost. What do you believe would help your village? How does that make your heart feel? She said, many people talk about the solutions, but they never come. And the reality is we do have the solution. We have the solution with mission feeding, because mission feeding provides food for children in school. High protein, high caloric diet that will give them everything they need to learn so that there is a future and a hope for them. So I'm asking you, would you please help us with mission feeding? We can together put a hot meal in every mission feeding bowl every day for a child's life.
Precious, precious little babies. When I watch a piece like that, the initial feeling I get is that we could have done something to save Valentin's life. We could have. It took so much for her to get to that clinic. I've been there on the ground. I know what it's like. I know what it takes. I know how hard it is to walk miles and miles and miles to get to a clinic. That when you move forward in that piece and you see some of those other children that are actually thriving, that are eating out of that bowl, that have been given something of great value and need to their little bodies to keep them alive. We could have done something. I could have done something to help save that little guy's life. So I think today when we come to you with this need, it's real, it's genuine, and it's urgent right now, Randy. We are feeding 350,000 children every single day, but there's one more. There's one more out there right now that needs us. And I think that's why it's so urgent that we come together, and it's really completely doable to me.
It is, and you know, we've been doing this for many years. In fact, 350,000 children a day, that's actually the low end. That's the verifiable. Because we have so many people on the ground right now who have given their lives to helping others, and it's very fluid at times. There are some places where we have been feeding for a longer period of time, but the needs change, the needs move, and that's one reason it's so hard sometimes for a mother to get her child to get some help quick enough, because they can be remote, and because hunger sets in oftentimes very fast, and then disease on the back of it. With the Mission Feeding Program, however, we are able to supply desperate areas with this emergency food relief. We're able to fill that bowl. And it's very simple. It's very cost effective because we've been doing this for so many years. In fact, $30 will help feed three children for three entire months. I mean, that's not a fancy meal. That's very basic, but that's what they need to sustain them until they can get back on their feet again. Your gift of $50 today would do that for five children. $100 will help feed 10 children for the next 3 months, and some of you can easily give $1,000 to help feed 100 children. Whatever you can do, we're asking you to come alongside of us so, like Tammy said, we can reach that one more.
Yeah.
That one who today is maybe hungry, but tomorrow we'll be facing death. Mm-hmm. We want to intervene. We can only do it with your support. I'm asking you to go to the phone or go online and make the best gift you can.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the brand new Life Planner. Bound in soft touch leather, this planner will help you with your daily walk with space for you to record your appointments, goals, inspirational notes, and prayers. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the God's Promise Serving Bowl. This beautiful and versatile ceramic bowl is decorated with 2 Corinthians 9:8 and will make a lovely addition to your table or home. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do hope you'll go online or go to the phone. Make the best gift you can today, because it will save lives and it will share the love of Jesus in word and deed. And that's what we're all about. I know you've been blessed by today's program, Michael. It's been so great having you. If anybody wants to go follow you online, hear some more music, find the album Overflow, where's the best place to go?
So you can go to michaelbethany.com and everything's there. Social media, Michael Bethany Official. You can tag me there. And go experience those YouTube videos.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Just search for Michael Bethany. All the videos from the live recording are right there. You can experience it right at home.
You totally can, just like I did in my study the other night. You are a blessing, man of God.
Thank you so much.
We love you. We appreciate you. Make sure to get that overflow right now in your life. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Andrea Herzer knows the hardships of undergoing over 100 medical procedures. Now she's helping others find lasting hope for lingering health issues. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.